What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and thanks for tuning in. Hope you guys are doing well today. I had a few minutes this morning before tomorrow, the big day of early signing day, so I wanted to jump on and just share a few thoughts with you guys before we get in tomorrow, kind of like a little primer for National Signing Day, and just some thoughts that have been on my mind this morning, looking over social media and stuff like that as I was kind of waiting for my shift to wind down at work. And getting home. So I wanted to share a few thoughts with you guys on that. And, you know, we'll just go ahead and jump right into it. So tomorrow is early signing day. It's a big day. You know, it's always been a big day or signing day in general. It's fun. It's exciting. You know, nowadays you can't be sure that it's the future of your program because they could hit the portal, but you get to see the future of your program signed tomorrow and to, you know, have some guys that you can be excited about. And so it's exciting. Now, there's also disappointment that happens on signing day. We know that all too well, and we are not going to even get into that. But, you know, because that's available on the market again, but we're just going to leave that alone. So the thing is, my whole point is tomorrow is going to be a reason to be excited. But you're also going to have some people who are going to be disappointed because you may see a flip that doesn't happen. You may see a flip that goes against Florida State, and it may disappoint you. But I'm here to encourage you to stay positive because you do have a lot of good recruits coming. You signed a lot of good recruits last year. And what this staff and Mike Norvell, you know, at Florida State during their time here have been so effective in the portal. I'm not here to tell you that high school recruiting doesn't matter, that you don't have to go out and land these kids, that you don't need to build, you know, the overall foundation of your program out of the high school ranks. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is I'm tired of hearing this tired argument that what Mike Norvell is doing at Florida State is not sustainable. And, I mean, oddly enough, the people who are saying that are 99% rival fans because it feels like everybody else in the college football media world is willing to admit what Florida State is building with Mike Norvell at the helm through the transfer portal. And I think times have just changed. And the fact that you have a staff that's willing to adapt and to lean on that is positive to me. I don't look at using the portal as being a negative. And, you know, I'm not some high school recruiting guru. I'm not a Division I football coach. This is purely my opinion here. And, it could be wrong. But when I look at high school recruiting versus portal recruiting, I look at, say, for instance, Arch Manning, the number one overall recruit, consensus five-star, one of the highest, if not the highest rated recruits ever, which is ridiculous. And when you see some of the competition, when you watch his film and you see the competition that he plays against in high school, how can you judge that? When, and I haven't done the research on this, but judging by what I saw on film, when a lot of those kids aren't Division I level college players that he's playing against. So the reason I bring that up is a lot of times when you are recruiting out of the high school ranks, there's a lot of guesswork. There's a lot of you hope he turns into what we think he can. You know, there's not a guarantee because you're a high-rated recruit out of high school that you're going to turn into something at the college level. I mean, take for instance, we just saw Damori Tate hit the transfer portal at Florida State. And this is nothing against him, but I wish him, and of course I wish him the best at whatever, you know, best of luck at whatever next destination he lands at. But, you know, that was a five-star recruit that you got literally nothing from. Nothing. There was no guarantee that he was going to be good and produce at a college level. Okay, well, look at Jeremiah Byers, the commitment that Florida State just got out of the portal from UTEP. So this guy comes in a first-team all-conference. Now, granted, I understand it wasn't at the Power 5 level. He comes in with almost 2,000 snaps of experience, a good PFF grade, and only allowed one sack and, I believe, 8 pressures all of last season. That is proven college production. Jaheim Bell, the same kind of example. To me, it takes a lot of the guesswork out of recruiting. You're going to probably have less misses, less busts coming from the transfer portal than you are from high school recruiting. Now, of course, you may take some guys that don't turn out to be day one plug-and-play starters, but you also have to take some guys for depth. You know, I understand we took a few guys in the portal previously who really didn't do a whole lot for you. But those guys are still there. They're still contributing. They're still depth players. Those are part of the team. That's part of building a program too. You can't build it on solely on five stars or they're all going to leave at some point to look for playing time. But at the same time, when you look at what Mike Norvell has been able to do over the course of his time here, his 3 years here, he's been able to pull in difference makers day one. One of them turned out to be an NFL first-round draft pick. Multiple players on this team, almost every single one of them who has been an all-conference player came out of the portal. You can build a team this way. And if, and again, going back to the high school, I mean, let's be honest. If you're recruiting a top-tier five-star high school kid, chances are you're only going to get them for about 3 years because they're going to leave early to go to the NFL. If, depending on what position they play, they're not always going to be a contributor the first year. Maybe a defensive back, you know, maybe a wide receiver, things like that. But a lot of times you're not going to see a quarterback come in as a freshman or a, you know, or a lineman or something like that that's going to come in and start as a true freshman day one and be ready to go and be an impact player. It just doesn't happen a lot. It does happen. I'm not saying it doesn't. It just doesn't happen a lot. So being realistic, you're getting, on average, about 2 good years with that player. I mean, we're going to get 2 good years with Johnny Wilson. We're going to get 2 good years with Trey Benson. We got 2 good years with Dylan Gibbons. I don't see the harm in building through the recruiting portal, you know, or the transfer portal. When you have the ability to get day one plug and play guys who have proven college production and are ready to go, are more about their business, are not worried about the flashy pictures and sitting in rented Lambos and things like that. They want to come to your school, get to work, get developed, and get to the NFL. So you have guys who are, you know, they're more about their business. And, you know, they've been developed in a college strength and conditioning program, a nutrition program, a college level coaching for 1 plus 2, 3, 4, you know, maybe even up to 4 years if you get them as a grad transfer. So you almost get to skip the guesswork and skip the development stage to get someone who's already ready to contribute and just maybe needs some final polishing, which is what we've seen happen a lot with like Alex Atkins and what he's doing with his offensive line. So I do think that it's not as bad as people are going to tell you. And for that reason, I think that no matter what happens tomorrow on signing day, I don't think you should hit any kind of panic buttons. I mean, in the last 7 days alone, Florida State signed 2 of the top 3 tight ends in the portal, which addressed a need that they had right now. They also went and got 2 top 5 offensive linemen in the portal, which was addressing a need that they got right now. Which, you know, it brings me to another point, is that when you look at, it also depends on your program and the trajectory that you're headed towards. You know, if you have a team like Miami who's been rebuilding for 20 years, maybe you do bring in the high price, the overpaid high school recruits because you're trying to build something from the ground up. Now, Florida State, they have a real chance to make it run. Now, as far as Miami goes, they weren't in a rebuild until about halfway through the season when they realized things weren't going great. Then it went from an ACC Coastal Championship potential to a rebuild. So kind of funny how that works. But anyway, I digress. When you look at a team like Florida State, who is not like a Georgia or an Alabama or Clemson right now, where you can get those guys on campus, you can get the 5 stars on campus, you just have trouble landing them when you don't have the success to sell that they do. You need to get to success now. And Florida State right now is a perfect example of that because you are set up for 2023 to be a very special year. Florida State could very well win an ACC championship next year. They could go to the playoffs. And they could, I mean, it's insane to think about, but because of the transfer portal, you know, Florida State is a national title contender next year. If they add a few more pieces, that's a real possibility. And that's because of the portal. And so I don't think this is unsustainable. I don't think this is an unreal way to recruit because you can pinpoint the impact players, you can put them where they need to be. You don't have to take 3 offensive tackles and hope that they can eventually produce, that you can get one of them that's salvageable out of that class, because that's just maturation. That's the way it works. Instead, now you can go out and you can pick that guy that fits your system, that has produced, that you know what you're going to get out of him. You know, it, and that's what you can target. Florida State is not targeting. They don't. I mean, you need a bunch of high school recruits because you're not running for 1 year, but they don't need a bunch of high school recruits right now. Now, you want those guys, but you need some portal pieces today to plug some holes to give you that chance to run next year. And once you're able, if you make a nice run, say Florida State makes the playoffs next year and wins the ACC, well, now you're back in the conversation for the bigger high school kids because the logo carries weight. And now you have, you know, you have the success on the field to sell with it. It's like I made the argument, or I made the point on social media, not necessarily argument, but when you look at the Bucks, and I don't think anybody knew Tom Brady was going to keep playing. I thought he was going to like win a Super Bowl or two and just ride off into the sunset. Apparently, he's going to keep going until he collects his Social Security check. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, when the Bucks had a chance to get him, Jameis is probably more of a long-term future build there to have him at quarterback. But you have a chance to get a guy that makes you an immediate contender in Tom Brady. Do you turn him down and say, well, I understand you can give me a guy with 6 Super Bowl rings, but Miami fans told me that I should go get a rookie because that's how things are done? Or do you take that guy who's going to immediately get you a Super Bowl and that's what happened? You know, does Florida State say, well, sorry, Jeremiah, we don't really need an all-conference guy with almost 2,000 snaps of experience and all that. We're going to go get someone from the high school and hope that he works out in 2 to 3 years when all the other players left. No, you're not going to do that. And that's why the portal is a nice in addition to high school recruiting, is the fact that now you can plug specific holes and add assets where you need them that have proven college production, which is something you're just not going to get out of high school. Obviously, you know, no one expects a high school player to have college level production. You haven't played yet. But if you can have a mixture of guys who you can build up in your system and give them a few years, and then you also have a mixture of guys who you can bring in who can contribute right away and also bridge that gap until those young guys get ready, I think that's a win-win situation. Especially if you have a transfer that you get multiple years out of, like we talked about earlier. If you're only getting 2, at the most 3, with a top-end high school recruit, but you can still get 2, maybe even 3, from a transfer, then I don't really see the downside in that. So I'm fine with what Mike Norvell is doing. I mean, when you look at this class, you know, you still have a Hakeem Williams, who is a 5-star, top 5 at the position player. You still have a Lucas Simmons, who's a blue-chip offensive tackle. You still have Blake Nicholson, who is an exceptional athlete, plays both sides of the ball, had a crazy season on offense as well. You know, you're bringing in a Lamont Green Jr., who is a legacy high school recruit, who's a dominant edge rusher that I can't wait to see in Garnet and Gold. So you're getting these guys. Look at all the linemen. Look at Julian Armella that you got coming from last year. You have all these guys that, you know, I feel like Florida State is bringing in good quality players through the high school ranks. Now, are they doing good enough? No. Okay, we know they need some work at the high school recruiting level. I'm not going to beat around the bush about that. But that may have been a shortcoming in the past. But if you're as successful in the portal and it's still getting you to success, I don't really care how you get there. It doesn't really matter, in my personal opinion. Because when people say that it's not sustainable, okay, their main thing is you can't recruit out of the portal. You can't build your program out of the portal. Well, you know, my argument to that is, so if you look at one path, and this is the Mike Norvell path, because these, who I'm going to compare are really about the two best examples that you have here. So you took a Florida State team that went to the transfer portal, built the culture, did things right, didn't buy the players, got the guys who were to fit in family and want to be part of this program and want to be here. They went from that path, got them from 3-9 to 9-3 with a chance at a 10th win, and half the team has already announced they're coming back next year. Now, granted, there's NIL involved. I'm aware of that. But there's more money in the NFL. So if they wanted to come back or if they wanted to leave, trust me, they wouldn't be here. Now, look at the other path. This is the Miami path, but further developed. Texas A&M. Look at Jimbo. You started out 8-5, I believe, or 9-4 his first year. And now last year, they went 5-7. So buying the high school recruits, paying the big name, overpaying for these big names for the number one recruiting class, when some of them are going to be misses, half of them are now in the portal, and they're jumping ship. They don't care about that money that they signed the NIL deal for a year or two ago. They're ready to go somewhere else. So not only did that money not guarantee you even kept the player, it took you from 9 wins to 5 wins, and where the portal took Mike Norvell and Florida State from 3 wins to 9 wins. I mean, to me, one of those sounds a little more sustainable than the other. One of those sounds like a little better way to build success than the other. So I don't really take issue with it. I think it's fine what they're doing. You know, I would be more concerned if we were overpaying for high school recruits to try and buy a program, to try and buy success. Because at the same time, like, you can get them on campus. You can get them to sign that first contract, you know, or whatever, however the NIL deals work. Because I know technically it's not a contract, so you're not really guaranteed, or at least not with a school anyway, so you're not really guaranteed to keep that player. So anyway, you know, if they're not guaranteed to stay, what's going to keep that same Miami recruit that you just paid all that money for from transferring out in a year or two when he realizes that getting blown out in front of 15 fans every Saturday isn't fun? Not only are you not getting a college experience, you're not getting developed to go to the next level anyway. And NFL money does not equal NIL money. You can only be in college for so long collecting checks. You know, you can go to the NFL, and there's no guarantee in the NFL either, but you can go there and have a 10-year career and make life-changing money. You know, not every kid's going to demand life-changing NIL money. So, you know, I just wouldn't get too upset over some of the things that you may see tomorrow with some of the schools that are willing to shell out those checks. I don't think it's any reason, you know, to get down on the staff or get down on this program. Look, they found a method that works for them, and that's all that matters. If you say tomato and I say tomato, but at the end of the day, we're still making a BLT or whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. They found a recipe for success. Let them do their thing because it seems to be working. And, you know, we'll just, like I said, coaching matters, culture matters, all that stuff matters. You know, and we'll see. Some kids don't care about the money, and they've voiced their opinion about that. You know, some kids really do want to go get developed. It's not everybody's in it for the money like I think we all think they are. But you can't fault a kid, you know, and a lot of these kids don't come from a lot, for taking $1 million to go to college. I would have. Hello. I mean, you know, that check better cash first. But I probably would have too. And that could be an influence for tomorrow. Now, I do feel good about most of the kids that you have in this class in Tribe 23. I feel good about you landing most of them. Obviously, there's some flips that have played out kind of, you know, the opposite way of what maybe we thought. Cam Robinson kind of put something out about, you know, he's signing his letter of intent in a Virginia uniform, so maybe that's not going to be there. Cedric Baxter said he's signing with Texas tomorrow. So obviously some of those things aren't going to play out the way you want. You know, the one that I'm really worried about more than anything is Keldrick Falk. Just because of the late push by Auburn and having a new staff, that kind of new, you know, that new toy shine on there. And it's Hugh Freeze. I mean, if Keldrick himself says that relationships and all that matter, and you've known Florida State, you've been committed to them since July, you would feel good, you would want to feel good about that versus someone at Auburn that has only been there for a couple weeks. But it's Hugh Freeze. This guy was willing to pay hookers on company salary. You don't think he's willing to pay a recruit? I mean, hello. So, like, there could be some, you know, some under-the-table stuff there. There could be some crazy stuff happen tomorrow. That's college football. That's the signing day. You know, and I don't mean to dish on Hugh Freeze, but it is what it is. I mean, how crazy is it? You know, you're recruiting against a guy who ordered prostitutes on a company phone and then went to a religious school to rebuild his career. And is now back in the SEC. Like, you can't make this stuff up. And so, like, you don't think these guys aren't willing to drop a bag for a high school recruit? I mean, come on. There's no stops that won't be pulled out. So, you know, you may be in trouble for some of the schools that have the money, that want to spend the money and to get these recruits. I hope what you've built here at Florida State and the success and the culture and all those things are enough to keep the kids in the class. But, I mean, let's be honest. A lot of them, if they're bag chasing, one, you don't blame them, and two, they're probably not going to stick around here for long anyway. So, you know, like I said, guys, just tomorrow, there's plenty of reason to be excited. There's some guys that may not go your way. There's some guys that may surprise. You know, you still are in, you know, you're still really in contention. I'm hearing some good things about possibly landing Fentrell Cypress. And so, you know, when you have a guy like that, you're looking at another top-rated player in the portal. So it doesn't have to always fit the narrative of what everybody thinks is the way it should happen or the way it's supposed to happen. The portal's only been around since about 2018, I believe. So you can't tell me it's unsustainable because you don't have proof that it is or it isn't. And, you know, realistically, if you take a guy out of high school too, they can still transfer on you at the drop of a hat. If you take a transfer, they've already used their transfer. They're going to have to get a waiver to get that second transfer. You know, now that's still very possible, is what we're seeing with in the case of Darryl Jackson. But at the same time, like, you have guys now who are more about their business. They're more committed to the process because they know their clock is starting to run a little short. And they're less likely to transfer out on you again. And you can probably, honestly, you know, if you want to talk NIL, you can probably get them for a little cheaper than what you're going to pay that high school recruit. So, you know, in my opinion, I don't think it's a bad way that they're going about things. I think it's a huge success that they've had this much fortune in the portal. Frankly, I'm excited about it. Like, early signing day is still big, and I'm still excited tomorrow, and I'm still geared up for it. I'm going to be with you guys throughout the day and things like that, trying to do my best to cover it. But I'm just as excited about portal season. To me, this is like, you know, this is like Christmas. You know, except Santa brought you the toy with the batteries already in it. You don't have to wake your dad up to put it together. You know what I mean? Like, it's already ready to go. And so I'm excited about watching the portal gets as much as I am the high school recruits. Because like we talked about in the last episode, nowadays you keep that line of communication open with these high school recruits because you don't ever know when they're going to become available again. So while it's great for Miami to end up with a top five class, and I'm not going to knock on them for that, because it is good. It's good. Like, there's no other way to slice that up. It's good for them to have a top five class. Do I wish Florida State had a top five high school class too? Of course I do. They have one in 2024. So again, this narrative of they can't recruit is still kind of crazy to me. They still have a top five class for 2024. But I look at Miami with this is like, you could potentially be spending a ton of money to get a class in that we could end up with half of those recruits anyway, a few years down the road. And it's realistically possible. I mean, look at all those guys that chose Texas A&M over whoever. And it was a big win for them at the time. And, you know, a lot of that was suspected to have NIL backing behind it to make that possible. Now they're going to be at another program. So just because what you see some of these other very heavily NIL-driven programs do tomorrow, that doesn't guarantee future success. Neither does the portal. But I think it guarantees as much immediate success that builds into future success as it does playing the hot hand right now, not knowing how it's going to end up. I mean, it's almost like the NFL signing all these, you know, if they went out and signed a high-ranked player with no contract or a one-year contract where you could just dip after that. Like, it's, to me, it's just crazy. It's crazy. I would rather them go the portal route than overpaying for high school recruits. I would rather you get the proven players on campus, skip that guesswork, skip some of that development process, and deploy your NIL money to retain the players that you know are going to produce at a college level. Again, we just saw a former five-star enter the transfer portal from Florida State that never really did anything for Florida State. You got way more out of a transfer in Jamie Robinson over from South Carolina, who you knew was going to be a good player, and you got multiple years of high-level play from him. So to me, to say it's unsustainable, to me, to say it's not a way to build success is just a fallacy to me. And it's just, again, a lot of it is them. They see Florida State's coming. They know what's on the horizon, and they don't want to admit it. Because, again, in Miami's case, more, I think, than Florida's, the other things do matter. Culture, development, coaching, getting players to the league, and things like that. So all that is important, and that's things that Florida State has shown the ability to do. So we're just going to wrap it up here, guys. I just wanted to come on, like I said, and share a couple of thoughts with you guys the day before early signing day. I'm still excited about it. I still think Florida State has some good guys, some really talented players that they're going to sign tomorrow. And I'm excited about this class. I know Florida State may not land all the five-star players across the board, but I feel like this staff has shown and has proven they're good at finding talent. They're good at finding guys who fit, and I feel like they're going after guys that they know can help build their program, and they're not just trying to take the guy with the most five stars because it looks good on a recruiting ranking. You know, Miami's probably going to finish with a top five class, and then that will probably get them to top 15, you know, again next year, because that's where they end up for some reason. They end up in the top 15 in the rankings every year. Maybe it's because of their recruiting or whatever. But again, look at where they started. I mean, you went from top 15 to top 15 most embarrassing programs of the country, in the country. You know, Florida State went from unranked to probably finishing top 10. So I think I'm fine with sticking with Mike Norvell and the process and trusting them to evaluate talent, to go to the portal, to lean on those needs. Now, again, you do have to get a little better at some of the high school recruiting, and that may be through different positions on the staff, things like that. It is something that's going to have to improve. But I also have always preached on here that them having the success on the field, them having some legit NIL backers now, you having an offense and a defense that looks like something kids want to play in, that all makes a difference. And a lot of the short-term recruiting that you're seeing done now with, you know, players from 2022 and 2023, those were done while Florida State was still kind of in a tough position, a tough shot, a tough sell, and had not had a ton of time with success to build those relationships. Because, you know, you can say you're interested in Florida State all you want, but when you see them winning three games, when you see them losing to Jacksonville State, you don't want to be a part of that if you are, you know, a high-ranked recruit out of high school. A lot of those guys don't want to sign up for a rebuild, don't want to sign up to be the one to change what Florida State is. They want to jump onto a moving bandwagon and, you know, ride off into the NFL sunset with a couple championship rings and NIL deal. Now, that's not every player. I'm not saying that about every player, but that's a lot of the higher-ranked recruits. They want to be doing all that stuff. Well, now that you're going to have more success to sell, you're going to have a product to market to a quarterback, to a running back, to a receiver, to a defensive end. Those are all positions now that Florida State can make themselves a destination for. So, you know, once you add this an extra year, and that's what it seems like Florida State's really going for, is they're really putting, you know, they're really pushing all their chips in on 2023. And so I'm really excited about next year. I know that you had the potential to lose a lot after that. We thought that was a potential to happen this year. But now that they've retained everybody, 2023 looks to be really special. So do keep that in the back of your mind, that how Florida State is approaching its recruiting right now is they're okay with leaning on the portal to capture lightning in a bottle for next year and going forward in getting that special season next year, in building on this 10-win season, in carrying, you know, skyrocketing that momentum, giving that momentum a swift kick in the you-know-what through the transfer portal. And I'm okay with that because the high school recruits will come. And if they don't come now, they'll come as transfers later because they'll want to be a part of this too. And, you know, with the battles end out here, you know, doing the Lord's work and things like that, it's just a recipe for success that I can see, and I think a lot of people can admit, other than the rival fan bases, because they know what's happening. They know what's coming. They're not, you know, they know. And so I think they just have to find any way that they can to make themselves feel better about the lack of the wins that they had on the field this year and the direction of their program going forward. But that's only something that time will tell. I could be completely wrong here. I may go back and listen to this in a few years and feel pretty dumb. But I just see what Mike Norvell is doing, what this staff is willing to do through the portal, acquiring plug-and-play day one impact players. And to me, I don't see that as a negative or not a recipe for success. And to me, I think it just tells you that there is reason to be excited for signing day tomorrow. There is some really good pieces that are coming to Florida State. But if things don't go our way on a couple of recruits, and they very well may, to not hang your head, because the future's still bright at Florida State, and I firmly believe that. And I do feel like you have a coaching staff who can coach and game plan and develop players. And to me, that's priority number one, because you can find players. You know, Mike Norvell has already shown that he can get to 9, almost 10 wins. Like I've said before, this is no bash on anybody on this team. I love this team. There's not a lot of 5-stars on this team right now, and you've already squeezed 9, almost 10 wins out of the juice that you have. You know, and if you're able to keep at, you know, and that was another point before we get out of here. You now went from taking like a guy who was a pretty good player at Northern Illinois, who was a backup at Notre Dame, and they worked out well for you. Now you're taking transfers that were starters at SEC programs, that were 4-year starters at a Power 5 program, that were an all-conference player with a ton of experience and good stats at a non-Power 5 team. So, like, you're even elevating your level of transfers now. So the level that they've been able to take out of the portal, you know, if you compare it to high school recruiting, now you're getting more. I know, I don't think they technically give them 5-stars out of the portal, but you're getting more 4- and 5-star caliber type players with that production out of the portal versus more of kind of like your 3-star guys that you were getting before, because now you have that record of success on the field to show, and the success with the transfers of making them kind of from some forgotten guys who got lost down a depth chart into household names. And so I do think that's going to carry forward. You are going, that's why they're landing so many good recruits now out of the portal. And that's only going to continue with their success. Success builds on success. And so I do think if they continue their path in the portal, addressing needs with day one players and also bringing in recruits that they feel are perfect for fit and family, which is what they, you know, what they preach, I don't see that as being a bad mixture. Personally, I don't, you know, hopefully it plays out the way it has over time and it continues to go in this direction, because you won't always be guaranteed those top pieces in the portal. So you do need to bring them in. You know, you may not have a lot of good guys transferring out in a year. And honestly, when it comes to the high school, if you have a really top high school recruit, you're going to be competing against an Alabama, a Georgia, a Clemson, you know, guys who have more resources and more money than you. If you're going after a top-tier transfer in the portal, those same teams don't really need transfers. They don't really use the portal. Kirby and Dabo don't take a lot of players in the portal. So you are the big fish in the pond when you look at more of the big-name transfers. Now, of course, you've seen Alabama take some guys recently, and I think these teams are going to come more around too. That's the way the game's going, and you have to do that now. But again, that's just another advantage to me in the portal, is when you're recruiting against Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson for a 5-star player, it's a lot tougher battle to win than competing against, I don't know, Wisconsin and, you know, Florida or someone like that for a big transfer. And that's another reason Florida State has continued to have success in the portal, because those harder teams to battle with more NIL deals and more success and things like that are rolling right now, those teams have an endless, like a factory of 5-stars that they've been recruiting. And Florida State can get there, but they need that same success. They need that same on-field product to sell, you know. But like I said, that's just another advantage in my mind, just thinking of things, why I like the portal. You know, it may be a little easier to pull some of those top targets out of there. And so I'm okay with what they're doing. I'm still excited about the future of this program, and no matter what happens tomorrow. But I'm not trying to set it up for a bad day either. I think we could still see some surprises. I still think Florida State could still have some players on flip watch here too for the Noles. So do tune in, you guys, tomorrow. I'm not even sure. I'm just kind of going to wing it tomorrow, see how it goes. And that's not the greatest way to do things. But depending on how things play out, I am going to try and jump on with you guys and just do a recap of things. So I appreciate you joining me this morning. This actually ran a little longer than I thought, but I just wanted to get some thoughts out there. So you guys, just be excited for tomorrow. Be excited for 2023 and where Florida State's headed. And don't listen to what the rival fans got to complain about, because no one cares about their opinion anyway. So with that being said, we'll catch you guys soon. And thanks again for tuning in. Go Noles. Florida State signed two of the top three tight ends in the portal, which addressed a need that they had right now.